Let's just ask Lord for his help. You know, it's after a meeting like what we had this afternoon, you'd hardly want to say anything to spoil what we had this afternoon. It was just beautiful, wasn't it? Just to go through that first part of that fourth chapter of Ephesians. Let's just ask the Lord for his help. Our God and our Father, we thank thee for our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus. We thank thee it's our privilege to be here this evening, to be with our brethren, having been invited here, and to be able to spend this weekend, shouldst thou tarry, Lord Jesus, with our brethren and over thy precious word, and to hear the gospel of thy grace go forth. We just would pray earnestly that our time together would be of real profit. We think of how we started off this afternoon, our God, and we thank thee for thy marvelous grace to us in spite of us, in granting us such sweet ministry. And now, our God, as we would look into these wonderful pages once again, we just would ask for thy help, that we might hear thy voice that would speak to each of our hearts, our God. We'd ask this, praying too for those who are still traveling, for safety for them. And we'd ask this as we give thanks in the worthy and the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
When I was in grade school, I had I don't know if you call it privilege or not, responsibility of playing in an orchestra, which I rather enjoyed. Went into high school, did the same thing. I played in an orchestra. Towards the end of high school, my individual instructor suggested that maybe I spend a bit more time in an orchestra, so spent some time at McGill, and during the summer went every day to summer school, 5 hours a day, playing the violin all the way through the summer. And that period of my life came to an end. But it's interesting, whenever an orchestra starts, what you hear, and because of who my instructor was, we got tickets in to listen to the Montreal Symphony. And we would, just as students, and we'd go in there and we'd listen to them as they would start. And the first 20 minutes of every session was everyone tuning their instruments. What a racket. What a racket. And so everybody's focused. They're tuning their own instrument. They're just oblivious to everybody around them. You know, we sometimes sing that hymn of how there's not going to be any discordant sounds. When the orchestra is tuning up, it's nothing but discordant sounds. It's absolutely terrible. But when everybody's tuned up, and the conductor lifts up his baton, and he starts, the music is beautiful. You know what takes place when an instrument is being tuned? It's interesting. I brought my violin, and I was too embarrassed to bring it up here. Which, you know, that's sort of interesting because we've just had Ephesians 4 before us. You know what lowliness is? Don gave us a little discourse on loneliness and meekness. I'm going to give you another one. That's the same words as he said. I was sitting there observing Bob Tony on one end of a row, Doug Barry in the other end of the row, everybody in between. And I know very much those five people were very much affected by the ministry of someone in their family who has passed on now. And I, too, was very much affected by Norman's ministry. He gave this definition of loneliness and meekness. Loneliness thinks nothing of itself. Loneliness thinks nothing of itself. Meekness is in not any way self-assertive. And long-suffering doesn't criticize anybody. Well, my embarrassment in bringing the violin here to show you how a tuning place takes place shows I fail in loneliness. But what happens is the strings are tightened. They're tightened. And they're loosened. They're tightened and they're loosened. And that is the process of our lives down here. It's a tightening and a loosening. It's like we're all being tuned for that moment. What a moment it's going to be. No discordant sounds. All the tuning having taken place. All brought into conformity with that blessed one, our Lord Jesus. And there to sing those praises in a marvelous way that we can't hope to now, but we can start. You know, I filled out went to a new doctor this week and filled out they give you a form to fill out, and one of the things on the form, I'm sure everyone's filled out forms, one of the things on the form was stress level. Minor, medium, major. You know, every one of us, we've all got stress. How do we do with it? We all have it. And if you talk to any one of us, we're all over the top. We all have it. How do we do with that stress? You know, if we could turn to the fourth psalm, David says, in pressure, I am enlarged. In pressure, I am enlarged. I want to look at one incident in the life of Abraham. Just one incident, which I have appreciated. Now, I had something happen interesting. We're going to look at it in the 17th chapter of Genesis. A couple of years ago, I was walking through a graveyard. I came upon a gravestone, and I read the name, and I recognized the name. Birth date, dash, no death. Oh, person's still alive. That person, 35 years ago, was someone that I worked with. I'd worked at Colville's for a little while, and Earl had put me in charge of a larger job, and this man was doing some work under me. He was a man that was much my senior. He was an aggravation. Aggravation to all the men, he was an aggravation to me. One day, I blew my stack. When I say I blew my stack, I blew my stack. The cork came off. I was so upset. I was furious at this person. And I let him have it. You know, my children have never seen that. They have never seen that, what that man saw, the display that came out of me. I don't know if my children have ever heard me raise my voice, but I screamed at this guy 35 years ago. It was this man whose name was on the stone. I drove by this week where he used to live. I thought, I wonder if he still lives there. I pulled in the driveway. There was an old man working in the garden. He stood up and he came towards me. It was him. I won't go through the whole conversation. The end of it was, he thanked me so much for coming, and he asked me to come back. You know, there are some things in our lives that are sometimes unfinished that take years for the Lord to bring across our pathway again. Some things we've long forgotten about. The Lord doesn't forget about them. Stress. That was a time of big stress in my life and big stress in his life. I want to look at this portion in Abraham's life at a time when there was some stress. Genesis chapter... You know, we're going to look at the 16th chapter first. The 16th chapter, what I want to do is I want to zero in on one verse in the 17th chapter, which is the point I have been leading up to this point. But we're going to take a look at the 16th chapter just before. So here in the 16th chapter, this takes place in Abram's life. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar for her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that I had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dwelt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Well, we could go through the rest of the chapter. But we find this is a time in Abram's life where... And you know, this is so much like me. It just seems that the Lord needs a little bit of help. You know, I never seem to be able to learn that lesson. It seems to come up time and time again. So here Abram, you know, he and Sarai, they come up with this pact. The Lord's just not, doesn't seem to be coming through with any children. We better try to deal with this ourselves. You know, it says here in the 15th verse, And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. And the next verse says, And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, 13 silent years, where the Lord was tuning Abram as he tunes us. 13 years, we don't hear anything. Interesting. It goes right from the end of that chapter right into the next chapter. 13 years. Here's the point. Abram was 90 years old and nine, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am... The Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. You know, that previous chapter, that did not characterize Abram. That was not characteristic of Abram in that previous chapter. He was not found walking with God. He was going to do things his way. Why? I'm afraid it's because the same reason I do things my way is because the Lord needs a little help. Solemn, isn't it? Now, notice what it says in the next chapter. He says, I will make my covenant, in the next verse, second verse, I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Now notice the third verse. Here's the whole point of what we're speaking about today. And Abram fell on his face. And what happens next? And God talked with him. You know, that's a beautiful posture. A beautiful posture that we see in Abram's life. And the result is that God is able to speak with Abram. You know, it's not different with us. You know, this afternoon we were speaking. I so appreciated Matthew 11 coming up, where the Lord Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly." Speaks about finding rest for our souls. 2 years ago, when my wife and I were on our way from Florida back to Rideau Ferry, halfway, I don't know where, we stopped at a Cracker Barrel. And as we went in the front door of the Cracker Barrel, there was a yoke that was above the door. A yoke. An old yoke. But it was an interesting yoke. I've never seen one like this before. The yoke was this. The one side had a great big arch on it. And the other side had a small arch. You know, I stood and gazed at that arch, that yoke, for a long time. The Lord Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." You know, I so enjoy this posture of Abram's, to be in a position where he could look back 13 years and see what a disaster he made in his own life. Now he was ready just to fall on his face and to be before the Lord. And under those circumstances and with that posture, we read, "And God talked with him." What an unfolding that chapter is. You know, God was ready to do that 13 years before. And isn't it so? We find it so often in the Word. You know, I so appreciate it. If you turn to the book of Judges, we read that in Gideon's time, that they were under the bondage of the Midianites for 7 years. And the Lord says to Gideon, "Take your father's bullock, the one that's 7 years old." They could have taken it 7 years before. They could have taken it 6 years before. They could have taken it 5 years before. How do we do with this? Aren't we so much like Abram? But oh, what a posture for Abram to take, to fall on his face, and it provides the way for the Lord to come in a special way and be able to touch our hearts. Well, may the Lord just bless these few thoughts as we consider Abram. Here, blessed Savior, we thank thee that there's footsteps for us to follow in. We pray for special grace. As we go forward, each one in our lives at different times, different ages, that we would be able to find that posture of Abram's, to be on our faces before thee, and to be able to hear thy voice. Father, we've all come here this weekend with the purpose of hearing thy voice, and so often we get in the way. We just earnestly pray that this weekend we would be able to do just what Abram did, and that we would indeed, as Abram did, we would hear thy voice. Lord God, we just ask for thy help with this. And we leave ourselves in thy care now, and we give thanks for this refreshment that's been provided for us. We ask these things, giving thanks in the worthy and the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.